O God, our Father, make this a day of blessing, a day of power, a day of victory, a day of reviving, a day of refreshing, a day of God's right hand. There is a barrenness, an unfruitfulness, a worldliness, a prayerlessness, a carelessness that eats as a canker at the heart of thy people and at the heart of the true church of Jesus Christ. O God, reverse the trend today in our hearts. Wean us from the world. Woo us to thyself. Make this a special day. Make this a day when God speaks to his people. For Christ's sake. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. Last Lord's Day morning, we discovered in this 59th chapter of Isaiah's prophecy the five great agents in revival. But in this chapter, there are four other agents of revival. So this morning, we want to look at the Lord's hand in revival, the Lord's ear in revival, the Lord's spirit in revival, and the Lord's word in revival. If you turn over to Numbers chapter 11, verse 23. And the Lord said unto Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see not whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. The context of that text is the circumstance of a murmuring people who in their wilderness experience desired flesh to eat. And it seemed to Moses that that was an impossibility. Look at verse 22. Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them? It's reckoned that there were 2 million of them, feeding 2 million people. Is the Lord's hand waxed short? And Moses was filled with unbelief. And the Lord said to Moses, thou shalt see whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. In the church of Jesus Christ today, there is the same sin that darkened the heart of Moses, the sin of unbelief. God's people tell me today, the majority of them, that the great days in the church are over, that the times of great revival are a thing of the past, that God will no longer pour out his Spirit mightily upon this earth, that in this 20th century, because of the depravity and the debauchery and the evil hearts of man, God is not able to do a work of power and of victory. And the church has given up its belief in revival. And the majority of Christians have given up their belief in revival. And when you hear them pray, how many times do they ask God to revive his work? You could attend 100 prayer meetings. And out of 100 prayer meetings, there might be one petition for a reviving of God's work. Let me challenge you. How many times did you pray this week for God to revive his work? How many times did you go into your room and shut the door and kneel down at your bed and say, oh Lord, revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee. Today, the people of God are guilty of the sin of unbelief. And because of that, a dearth has settled in upon their spirits. And they have turned to the world for their amusements, their excitements, their entertainments, and their pleasures. And they have lost the truth of the book that says, in thy presence is the fullness of joy. And at God's right hand there are pleasures forevermore. But the Lord's hand is not shortened. And God is saying to us this morning, you will see whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. The eyes of God's people today, because of unbelief, are darkened. They don't see the works of God in providence. In fact, providence is a subject seldom discussed or meditated upon by the people of God. They don't realize or recognize the sovereignty of God. Can God not clothe his church again with power? Can Zion not put on her beautiful garments so that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these? If God can feed the sparrow and not one falleth to the ground, can he not look after his church? Alas, today, because of unbelief, we do not see the sovereignty of God in his providential workings, and we admit that in our view the Lord's hand is shortened. Those of you who doubt your own salvation are guilty of this very sin, guilty of the sin of admitting to the Lord's hand being unable to do the very thing he has promised you to do. Doubt and lack of assurance is a sin that must be judged in our hearts. God has said that all who call upon him will be saved. He's a God that cannot lie. Why can you not rest, dear child of God, upon the Father's word, upon the Father's oath? Why is it today you are troubled and perplexed and your heart is filled with doubts and with fears? And there's days when a dark cloud blots out the sweet and blessed assurance that Jesus is yours and yours, you are Christ's forever and ever. So because of this unbelief that ruled Moses' heart and rules the hearts of the people of God, those in this congregation who are afraid to trust Christ are also guilty of this sin. When I speak to some of you, you say, oh, preacher, there's no hope for me. I've walked the road to hell too long. I have too many sins to answer for. I have rejected Christ far too often. Is the Lord's hand short that it cannot see it? What makes you any different from any other sinner? Nothing at all. Didn't all sinners reject Christ? Didn't all sinners go on in their sin? Didn't all sinners do the very thing that you have done? And some people are far older than you, and yet the Lord Jesus graciously saved them even in old age. Oh, let me tell you, my friend, you are guilty of telling God that his hand is short. And then we have Christians that despair of their loved ones ever coming to Christ. And they say, I have prayed, and I have agonized, and I have called on God, but there seems to be no answer. My friend, let me say to you very lovingly, because I understand how you feel, and let me say to you very tenderly, But I understand how you feel. You're shortening the arm of God, the hand of God. The Lord's hand is not shortened. Unanswered yet, the prayers your lips have offered, an agony of heart these many years. Is that how you feel this morning? Let me say this to you. Say not, the Father hath not heard your prayer. You shall have your desire sometime, somewhere. I was reading the story of D.L. Moody, and in his book he tells of a godly father, a man of God and a man of prayer and a man of grace. And he came to die, and Moody said, of all the deathbed scenes that he ever was at, this was the most harrowing experience he ever had. This man had five sons. All his converted days, he prayed for their salvation. But those sons went on in their sins. They were wild men. No time for their father's God or their father's seer. And Moody says they were all standing at the bed as their father was fighting the last battle with death. And he said, it was a harrowing experience. That man screamed and cried and shouted. The whole bed shook, and it seemed that the very room shook. And Moody said, it wasn't like the sleep of a child of God at all. It was an awful and cruel and harassing and terrible experience. And he said, I said, as I saw it, Lord, there is a purpose in this. If ever a man should have had a peaceful passing, this man of God should have had a peaceful passing. If ever a man should have slipped away across the bar to the glory land with a fair wind from heaven, this man should have that fair wind. But instead, he has had all of this trouble in his hour of death. And when he had passed, he looked at the five men round the bed. And the eldest one spoke, and he said, boys, our father was a godly man. You and I know he was a godly man. You know and I know that he was a true Christian. That from the day of his conversion, he showed that he was really a man of God. And you have seen him die. Well, if that's what death does to a person that has Christ, what will it be like for you and for me? For we haven't got Christ. We better get Christ in our heart. And one by one, Moody said, those five men fell at that bedside and wept their way to Christ. I want to tell you, friend, God answers prayer in his own time and in his own ways. Trust him, child of God. The agency and revival is the hand of God. God's hand. He can hold you. He can protect you. He can guard you. He can keep you. He can sustain you. The hand of God. I knew that last Sunday night and last Monday morning. I just got home and the police rang me and told me of that frightful accident and that many relations were in the lounge at Aldergrove. My wife and I hastened out to that lounge. I couldn't describe what it was like. A place of weeping, a place of tragedy, a place of terror, a place of fear, a place of hopelessness. I'm glad, friend, I didn't do like some ministers and pull out the cigarettes and said, would you like a smoke? I'm glad I had a Savior to introduce people to. I'm glad I could pray with every family that was stricken. A prayer of faith in the Savior. A prayer of one who knows all about our struggles. No night so dark, but His love can cheer it. No, not one. No, not one. And it was interesting that the very priest, the chaplain of Aldergrove, in the Catholic Herald this week, he says, I must pay a tribute to Ian Paisley and the comfort he brought to hearts. I wasn't bringing any comfort of my own. I had a Savior to present. Our Savior has a hand that can reach down to every situation. And the agency in revival is the hand of the Lord. Let the Lord's hand touch you today. Get a touch from the Lord's hand. Pray for it. Pray for the Lord's touch today upon your heart. That's what the preacher needs. That's what the people needs. That's what the evangelist needs. The touch of the Lord's hand. Look at that second thing. The Lord's ear. Turn over with me to the 34th Psalm. Psalm 34. There is a great promise for the people of God. Verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. You know, my friend, let me say this to you today. You, when you go to interview someone, you want to get their ear. You want them to listen. You want them to take time to listen to you. Well, I'm glad today the Lord has time. Some of us are so busy, God forgive us, we haven't time to pray. But God is never too busy to listen to our prayers. Isn't that a wonderful thing? We're too busy to pray. Why are you not at the prayer meeting? Oh, I was too busy. Why were you not able to join us? I was too busy. Well, I want to tell you something, friend. The Lord is never too busy to hear our prayers. The Lord's ear is open to our cry. Open to our cry. The Lord's ear is open to our cry. The agent of revival, the ear of God. Go home today, child of God, and pour into God's ear all your complaints, all your heartaches, all your distresses, all your needs, all your petitions, all your desires. His ears are open. God is holding continual audience for His people. God is willing to hear the cry of our hearts for an outpouring of His blessed Spirit. He's longing of the church to kneel down and say, revive us again. Pride, arrogance, trust in the creature. You know, that's the trouble with men today. They trust in the creature. When I read about the history of the church, the great days of the church was when they didn't trust in man. I hear people say, how can you do this? How can you do that? You haven't got the resources. You can't do these things. I remember a minister meeting me in the early days of the Free Presbyterian Church, and he said to me, you can't build a church. You don't have money. You don't have learning. You don't have scholarship. You're not clever enough. You're finished. And I looked at him and I said, you've left something out, my friend. I've got God. That's what I've got. I've got God. And I've God before you. Who can be against you? And that man who was a separatist went back into the Church of England and became a run-of-the-mill Church of England minister. An apostasy to the neck. But thank God I'm still preaching the old-time religion from the gospel of Jesus Christ. God! Reckon without God, and all is a failure. I couldn't mount the pulpit steps without God. I couldn't battle with the powers of Rome without God. I couldn't battle with ecumenism without God. I couldn't do my work without God. The Lord's ear. Thank God we've got His ear. And it's open to our cry. Look at verse 19. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Lord's Spirit was greatly struck. I've been reading in my Bible, reading the book of the Acts, and the emphasis that's put on the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus died to purchase by His blood not only cleansing for your sins, but the gift of the Holy Spirit. If I could announce to you today that Jesus Christ was back on earth, you would say, that's wonderful. But let me tell you, Jesus Christ is on earth today in the person of His Holy Spirit. He said, if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. The Paraclete, the one called alongside to help. And the enemy has come in all right. The floods are flowing on every hand, and there are people capitulating to the floods of the enemy, and there's churches pulling down their standards, and there's preachers going over to the enemy. And today it's unpopular to stand outside the theological thoughts and the currents of this modern age. My Bible tells me that when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard. God wants to lift up a standard in your life. And I want you to notice, it doesn't say He lowers the standard. He lifts up the standard. There's a lot of fellows about lowering the standard. Make it a bit easier. Don't be so sharp and strong. Don't make the black black and the white white. Get a few grays into your Christianity. No, friend. God's lifting the standard. He hasn't altered the standard. And when the Spirit of God comes in, you know the first thing He does, He lifts up the standard of prayer in the hearts of God's people. A man claims that he's got the Holy Spirit and he doesn't pray. He's a hypocrite and a liar. Because if God's Spirit is in the heart of a man, he'll pray. Prayer and the Spirit go together. What's more, the standard of God's Word. He'll love the book. Would you like your Bible to start speaking today? What would it say? Would it say that even one chapter was read every day? Measure the time that you've sat at the television set with the time that you've sat with God's holy book. And then look God in the face and tell God that you're a dedicated believer. Come on now. Let's be honest about it. Let's face up to it. This book is neglected by God's people. But when the Spirit of God comes in, He lifts up the book. Lifts up the book. Can you do without the book? I was a young preacher going around this neighborhood. I used to purposely not take my Bible into the homes of the people. And I would say, when I came to read and pray, can you get me a Bible? You never saw such confusion. Where is the Bible? Jimmy, I think I put it in the top drawer. Go and look at it. And they pull out the top drawer and it's not there. I think it's in the cupboard, Jimmy. And they had to ransack their house to get a Bible. It was proof that they didn't read it. My, if you read the Bible will be with you. I saw a report in an English newspaper some time ago, and it said Ian Paisley was sitting in a European airport waiting for his plane. What was he doing? He wasn't smoking or drinking. He was reading the Bible. Hallelujah. Reading the Bible. My friend, do you read this book? Spirit of the Lord lifts up the standard. And I'll tell you what else. If He lifts up this standard, you'll be a witness for Him. You'll be telling others. You'll be inviting others to come and hear the gospel. You'll be on the job, friend, for the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Bible says, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Witnesses. Many did you speak to the Lord about this week? When people's hearts were softened with this tragedy, did you get a word in for the Lord? Did you? Did you try to harvest it for the Lord? Oh, may God lift up the standard. And then you'll notice the promise of the everlasting word. The word shall not depart from the mouth of the person that knows the blessing of revival. And it'll be in his heart, and in his children's heart, and in his grandchildren's heart. Do you believe that promise today? Dear mother, you're anxious about a son or a daughter. Dear father, you're anxious about a daughter or a son. Here's the promise of God. I will put my word not only into your heart, but into their heart, and into their seed heart. That's the promise of God. Is the Lord's hand short that it cannot see? Is his ear heavy? The Spirit lifts up the standard against the enemy. And the word of God will not depart out of the mouth of the child of God. These are the agents of God in revival. God wants us to make a total and absolute surrender of ourselves to him this day, that he might bless us and make us a blessing.